This is Jay Sekulow. The UN fails to condemn Hamas. The ACLJ responds.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. My dad will be joining us in just a moment. He had to step out, take an important call. As you heard in the tease, the American Center for Law and Justice, along with our European Center for Law and Justice, is responding to that failure of the General Assembly to condemn Hamas and Islamic Jihad actions. I have here the letter that will be sent today to the UN Secretary General. As you know, the European Center for Law and Justice is a recognized organization with the United Nations, so we are not just a group sending a letter, but we have official standing at the United Nations. And here we note that this resolution would have passed. It had the majority of countries. It would have passed under normal standards, but for a two-thirds majority requirement that was added right before the vote. And we believe that was the only time this year that the UN General Assembly required two-thirds for a General Assembly resolution to pass.
Right.
If it was not necessary, if two-thirds wasn't necessary, this would have passed. Enough countries voted yes, enough countries abstained, that the majority, it would have passed this first-time resolution that condemned Hamas and Islamic Jihad for its attacks on Israel. And we are inquiring about what happened at the UN and the culture of the UN, that it's at a point where it will fail to condemn Hamas terror attacks and Islamic Jihad attacks, and at the same time change the vote totals necessary when they saw that Hamas was about to be condemned by the majority of UN member states.
That's precisely the point. So what you have to understand that took place here, and I think this is critically important to the overall understanding of what the issue is. If this was gone through the normal process, what they've utilized the entire year, this resolution condemning Hamas and Islamic Jihad would have passed. What did they do? Because it involved Israel, and because the condemnation was aimed at Hamas, they decided to exercise a rule prerogative. So what we've done today is sent a legal demand. This is a very formal legal demand to the United Nations General Assembly to find out exactly what took place here and to put light onto what happened here. So we have sent, through our European Center for Law and Justice, which is recognized at the United Nations as a non-governmental organization, we have sent form a demand in the form of a legal demand so that we get answers to this. So this is a formal legal demand submitted through the UN. Van Bennett is our Director of Governmental Affairs, but he's also our designated representative to the United Nations. And Van, we've had good results in the past when we've done this, and this was one where we certainly had to take action quickly.
Yeah, Jay, this is exactly why we pursued accreditation and were approved for accreditation at the United Nations. I know we get a lot of people asking, why would you engage with the United Nations? This is why, Jay, because when these kind of stunts happening, targeting our allies, in this case, Israel, and changing the rules at the very last moment to make sure that the United Nations opposed American interests, Jay, they don't just hear from the United States government on it. They hear from the European Center for Law and Justice, an accredited organization, and we can send a legal letter that basically says two things. First of all, you're using two standards, one for America's enemies and one for America's ally, Israel. And Jay, the second thing we can say is we saw the stunt that you pulled so much for one country, one vote. We know how you changed the rules at the last moment. Jay, this letter will be on the desk of the Secretary General later today.
We write in our letter, this is a very disturbing outcome given that the UN's fundamental purpose, its very reason for existence, is to promote and maintain international peace and security. That's precisely why the resolution sought to condemn Hamas and Islamic Jihad's actions, wholly deleterious to international peace and security. Failure of the General Assembly to adopt the resolution indicates that a metastasizing moral cancer has affected the organization at its very roots.
Yeah, I mean, very strong demand coming from the European Center for Law and Justice. Your support of the ACLJ allows us to do that. We're in our matching challenge campaign. Let me encourage you to go over to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Add your voice. Support our work. Matching challenge campaign. ACLJ.org. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
By the way of introduction, the European Center for Law and Justice is an international non-governmental organization. This is our letter to the United Nations. Designed for the protection of human rights and the furtherance of the rule of law in international affairs, we've held special consultative status before the United Nations since 2007. Your support for the ACLJ allows us to be your voice and the voice of Israel and others at the United Nations. We're writing to express our deep concern about the recent UN General Assembly's failure to adopt the proposed U.S. resolution, which dealt with an open and notorious anti-Israel activities perpetrated by Hamas and other militant groups from within the Gaza Strip. We are also writing to encourage Your Excellency, as UN General Secretary, to take a bold and public stand for peace, the rule of law, and international affairs, and for the principles upon which the UN was originally founded concerning these matters. Then we put out that what exactly was going on here, and then, of course, we point out that the vote rules were changed for this resolution. This is what Nikki Haley said, our ambassador, about outgoing ambassador of the United Nations, right before this vote was to take place.
I want to take a personal moment and ask my Arab brothers and sisters, is the hatred that strong? Is the hatred toward Israel so strong that you'll defend a terrorist organization? One that is directly causing harm to the Palestinian people? Isn't it time to let that go? For true peace and security in the entire region, isn't it time for both sides to let this go?
Strong words from Ambassador Nikki Haley, a real friend of Israel, and she's done a tremendous job as the UN ambassador for the United States. She'll be missed. She's done a really fantastic job. We have an office in Jerusalem, and David Benjamin is our senior counsel there. He's also a colonel in the Israeli Defense Force and the International Law Group, Law of Armed Conflict. David, we're talking about this Hamas resolution condemning Hamas that failed only because of a procedural change in the rules done by the UN for this vote. Normally, it's majority. This time, they had the right to go to two-thirds. They did for this because they knew it was going to pass. But will you explain to our audience, you're in Israel, you live there, you work there, what the danger of Hamas is? People need to understand who Hamas is and what they stand for.
Well, Hamas is a violent, extremist, Islamist organization that violently took control of the Gaza Strip back in 2007. They violently deposed the Palestinian Authority and pushed them out. And since then, they have been ruling, let's just say, with an iron fist, the Gaza Strip, and using it as a platform to attack Israel. There have been thousands upon thousands of missiles fired into Israel from Gaza. And Hamas has also been tunneling under the ground into Israel in order to carry out mass attacks through tunnels in Israel. And of course, this is an organization which is sworn to destroy Israel. There's and as a religious doctrine. In other words, there's really nobody to negotiate with or to talk with. And the amazing thing is that the UN completely shamelessly refused to pass a resolution condemning this organization, which surely by any objective moral standard cannot be tolerated.
You know, one of the things that's, you know, we talked about that in it basically called on Hamas and Islamic Jihad to cease repeatedly firing rockets into Israel. It condemned Hamas's building of tunnels to infiltrate Israel and equipment to launch rockets into civilian areas. Now, you up on the, in the north, you've had a situation with tunnels there. Will you, David, explain to our audience again? You're out of our office in Jerusalem. Will you explain to them what these tunnels are, like the ones you're dealing with right now on the border with Lebanon?
These tunnels have been built by Hezbollah. It looks like a sort of copycat operation based on what has been perceived the success of Hamas in building tunnels. As far as we know, these tunnels are their purpose is to allow, again, infiltrations of armed forces by Hezbollah into Israel in order to capture certain areas in northern Israel. And of course, that's just part of the picture, because at the same time, Hezbollah will be able to rain on Israel something in the region of 150,000 rockets that can reach just about anywhere in our country. And of course, this is all acting on behalf of Iran. This was a surprise development. The Israelis didn't want anybody to know actually about this, that we knew about this tunnel operation. So it was done, which was done all of a sudden out of the blue, took everybody by surprise, including Hezbollah and including many Israelis, I think. Even though people here suspected for a long time that there might be tunneling, the IDF officially said that there was no such problem. So now we're in the midst of this operation. So far, four tunnels have been discovered. There are probably more. And in a first, at least, UNIFIL, which is a UN armed force, which is supposed to enforce UN Resolution 1701, which forbids any activity by armed groups in South Lebanon, has at last acknowledged there are at least two of these four tunnels, so they officially say, actually have crossed into the border, into Israel from Lebanon, thereby violating that UN Resolution 1701. And of course, we're hoping this is supposed to come to the Security Council tomorrow, and hopefully something will happen there. But of course, in light of what happened with Hamas, our expectations of the UN are not great, although this is, of course, the Security Council and not the General Assembly.
I'm going to get our to be seen. David, I'm going to have you work with our team this afternoon, your thoughts, evening, your time. But I'm going to have, I think we need to do a supplement to our legal demand, and that includes, or maybe a separate one, that shows with the other resolutions that are being put forward why these are important. Folks, we've got to engage on this. And Than, will you paint the picture of what that engagement looks like so our audience understands when they support the ACLJ what that means? It's not just drafting legal documents. There's it's boots on the ground in the UN oftentimes.
Well, yeah, what we're talking about today, this legal demand letter, is just sort of the fruit of those works, Jay. I mean, look, the reason that we care about a General Assembly resolution like this is because exactly what David is describing, when the Security Council considers a measure that has more binding teeth, it will refer back to resolutions like the ones we're talking about today. So it's important for groups like us, Jay, to be present in the General Assembly so when stunts like these are pulled, we can call countries on it. And, Jay, we did exactly this. When this happened back on December 6th, on these airways, we called out U.S. allies who fell for this stunt by Kuwait, Australia, Norway, Switzerland. There were others. But, Jay, here's the thing. They are counting inside the General Assembly on these kind of actions falling through the cracks and not being noticed. The ECLJ's visibility there, our presence there, it's what enables the rest of the world, essentially, to understand when these kind of stunts are pulled.
I hope that everybody understands what Than just said. It's following what David just said, too, and that is our ability to utilize our assets around the globe. That means working in New York, working at Geneva when necessary, working in our office in Strasbourg, in coordination with our office in Jerusalem, in coordination with our office in Washington, and then being able to come to you on the media side of this. All of this is because of your support for the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We encourage you to do that, our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org.
Yeah, let's go right to the phones. Robert in Virginia on line one. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Robert.
Yeah. Hi, Jordan. Hi, Jay. Just wanted to ask the both of you, does the United Nations in general condemn Hamas's terrorist activities, and with also them having a two-thirds vote threshold as opposed to a majority vote threshold, so that they actually condone and accept Hamas attacking Israel?
Well, I'd say to the first part, no. Hamas has never been condemned by the United Nations General Assembly, so that answers the first questions. They don't just there's never been like a general condemnation of Hamas. Some UN member states like the US and the EU acknowledge that Hamas is a terrorist organization, but the UN has not condemned Hamas without adding their attacks on Israel. Second, does the vote show they actually support Hamas? We argue in our letter that it does. That in fact, failure of the General Assembly to adopt the resolution indicates that a metastasizing moral cancer has infected the organization at its very roots, thereby undermining the legitimacy and long-term health and effectiveness of the UN as an international institution. So to answer your question, Robert, we're telling the UN exactly what you just asked.
Yeah, and David, I think David Benjamin, again, our senior counsel for our office in Jerusalem. David, I think it's important to point out that getting it to the UN, people saying, why even bother with it? There's still a large international body, so you've got to be there engaged on this.
If I may just stress one other thing, Jay. You know, this action at the UN about the Hezbollah tunnels, the breach of the UN resolution, etc., this is all to prevent what could be a completely catastrophic war. If war breaks out between Lebanon and Israel over this issue because of Hezbollah, it will be an absolute catastrophe. Of course, on the Israeli side, when I mentioned those 150,000 missiles, we're talking about, you know, Hezbollah trying to saturate Israel's missile defenses and hundreds, maybe thousands of missiles landing in Israel every day. But also you have to take into account the kind of destruction that will be necessitated on the Lebanese side. Remember, all of South Lebanon is, the population of South Lebanon is one giant human shield for Hezbollah. And the only way Israel will be able to deal with these incoming missiles, okay, is to try and get them in the ground before they're launched. Now, that is a catastrophic, yep, almost apocalyptic scenario, which nobody really wants to happen. So these diplomatic efforts at the UN are so important. And I really, you know, hope, even though I've, you know, I don't think there's much cause for optimism, but hope that the UN will step up and exert enough pressure on Lebanon, Iran, Hezbollah, etc., to avert a war, which at the moment looks like it's going to be unavoidable. Remember that. We're in a new phase because, yep, Hezbollah is now arming itself with precision weapons.
Yeah, you know, David, we're coming up on a hard break. Listen, we appreciate your comments on this. It couldn't be more timely. Thanks for being with us. Folks, again, stand with the ACLJ, our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, we've been describing the work of the American Center for Law and Justice, our European affiliates, our office in Jerusalem and Washington, D.C., as it relates to Israel. I've got a question for our audience, and that is, how important is it for you that the United States and that we as an institution at the ACLJ stand with Israel and offer a vigorous defense, a formal demand to the United Nations put forward by the American Center for Law and Justice, actually technically by our European Center for Law and Justice, which is our designated UN organization? So, again, your support makes a huge difference. But I want to know how important this is to you. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. I've gotten in our studio right now Colonel Wes Smith and our Director of Policy, Professor Harry Hutchinson. Colonel Smith, of course, heads up our Senior Military Analyst. You know, looking at this one, Wes, give me your sense of what you see is transpiring here. I mean, obviously, if they would have stayed with the regular rules,
right,
and had the regular, you know, majority vote, the resolution condemning Hamas would have passed.
Yeah, and some of our allies, like Australia and New Zealand, that voted to change the rule on this one vote, they had to know that this would kill the ultimate resolution. And then when the vote was taken on the resolution, nations that supposedly are our allies, they depend upon us for their own national defense, like Saudi Arabia, the Gulf States, Egypt, Jordan, they voted against the resolution to condemn Hamas. Here's the thing, Jay. It was 1 year ago this month, right now, that the United Nations General Assembly voted that the idea of Jerusalem being the capital of Israel was, and this is a quote, null and void. This followed President Trump's decision to move the capital, you know, to Jerusalem. At that time,
well, for the United States to recognize,
and to move our embassy there. Yeah. I'm sorry. At that time, Nikki Haley said that they would take a close look at any nation that received U.S. financial aid and consider whether or not they shared our values and our strategic concerns for peace and justice. I looked at it, Jay. Out of the 192 nations that are part of the United Nations, 183 of them received some form of U.S. financial aid.
Harry, what's your read of the situation?
Well, first, Jay, the U.N.'s failure to condemn Hamas and its terrorist activity amounts to a craven surrender to the metastasizing moral cancer that infects the UN General Assembly. That's number one. Number two, the decision amounts to a surrender to the slaughter of women and children, and then allows Hamas to hide behind civilians. And thirdly, I would suggest that our so-called allies who have engineered this vote so that it would fail in terms of condemning Hamas, they should be prepared to pay a price going forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, Nikki Haley said that. Here's what she said. Let's go. Let's play this. This is number 25.
The United States will remember this day in which it was singled out for attack in the General Assembly for the very act of exercising our right as a sovereign nation. We will remember it when we are called upon to once again make the world's largest contribution to the United Nations. And we will remember it when so many countries come calling on us, as they so often do, to pay even more and to use our influence for their benefit.
And my hope is that the nominee to fill Nikki Haley's spot as U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Heather Nauert, continues that policy. That, and I believe they will, because the Trump administration policy to start carefully looking at each of these member states' votes and determine their funding, including humanitarian funding, based off if they are voting with the U.S. or consistently against the U.S. Let's go right to the phones. Mike in Pennsylvania on line three. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, sir. First off, to answer the question that you proposed regarding the importance of the United States to support Israel, without going into a whole bunch of detail, I've always felt that one of the reasons the United States was even created was to be in favor and support of Israel, especially in these times. So I think it's critical that we continue and increase our support where we can. My question regarding the UN is, I understand some of the arguments made that we need to be remain a participant in the UN, but it just seems that if we were not there, they would lack some kind of credibility with us being gone. And we could do the exact same thing that we're doing now, which is apply pressure to those countries that we need to. But
if we abdicate, if we abdicate the UN, they could pass resolutions and take actions that could have devastating consequences for our interests here in domestic, well, overseas. So I think you've got to be very, I mean, as much as I think there are a lot of problems with the UN, I think this is one of these ministry of presence. You have to be there. You can't ignore the United Nations. And that is the reason why we engage it. And when we engage the UN, as we did here, Mike, we had our offices in Jerusalem, Strasbourg, our media center, Washington, D.C., all engaged on this at the same time. And to tell you the truth, we were modifying our demand while we were in our radio meeting this morning.
That's right. But I do want to make it clear to Mike as well. Here's a reason, the biggest reason why you don't leave the UN. We are a permanent member of the UN Security Council. Putting aside all these General Assembly resolutions, which have been a mess for many years, have been very negative towards Israel, even negative towards the United States. The Security Council has five permanent members. We're one of those five permanent members. We have a veto, an absolute veto on anything the Security Council wants to do. That's the actual action arm of the UN. That can that does sanctions, that can go to war, declare war, end wars, draw boundaries, declare new countries. So we cannot give up our permanent status as one of the members with that absolute veto power on a 15-member Security Council with 10 rotating members that don't have that power. But imagine the other countries that would remain. China would still be a permanent member with the veto power. Russia would still have a veto power. And then France and the UK would still have a veto power. So it would not be in the U.S. interest to give up that permanent membership on the one action body that the UN really has to declare war, to put out sanctions, to draw international boundaries. We just can't give that up.
Dan, you're our representative there, and you're the one that has walked those halls more than any of us. So what's your sense of it?
Well, I couldn't agree more with the way that Jordan just laid it out. And let me just illustrate for Mike exactly how this works, because I understand Mike's sentiment, Jay. I really do. But here's how it works in reality. A resolution like the one we're talking about, when it gets passed by the General Assembly, it gets kicked down to the Security Council. And Jay, the very first line of most Security Council resolutions starts with something like this: recalling UN General Assembly resolution number, and then it fills in the number. And Jay, it uses that resolution as justification for whatever it's going to do. And I cannot tell you, over the course of the last decade, how many sanction resolutions the Security Council has taken up against Israel that did not go into effect internationally because of one reason, Jay, a United States veto. So a departure from the UN, from the United States, would put a pile of sanctions on top of Israel. That's why the United States has to remain. But Jay, even if the United States remains, it cannot do its work without groups like ours on the ground calling out some of these violations that a government can't do. We as the ECLJ can say, Australia, what are you doing falling for this stunt? Diplomatically, that's a little bit more difficult for a government. So in my opinion, it takes both the United States and groups like ours on the ground.
No, that's why I say, Harry, you got to stay engaged on this stuff. And folks, we're doing that on multiple levels.
Absolutely. So the modern state of Israel issues forth from world history and a specific UN mandate initiated in 1947, which took effect in 1948.
Yep.
The Arab population launched an immediate war. Hezbollah and Hamas represent a continuation of this war.
Yep.
And yet the UN is not prepared to do anything to stop it.
So we fight back right at the United Nations, and that's where your support for the ACLJ comes in critical. You've heard it today. All of our offices engaged in this on multiple levels.
That's right. Support the work of the ACLJ. Our matching challenge right now, it's very critical with all of these offices and all the work that we do internationally and here in the United States. Donate at ACLJ.org, and your donation will be doubled in our matching challenge. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, it is the end of the year, but it's not the end of our work. In the American Center for Law and Justice, our European Center for Law and Justice affiliate in Strasbourg, France, our office in Jerusalem, and our office in Washington, D.C., and our media center are engaged in a full throttle legal defense of Israel at where? The United Nations. So we know this. Israel, and this is an email I've sent out today, Israel's enemies have one goal. What is it? It's always been the same. The obliteration of the state of Israel. They want to get rid of the Jewish state. Even worse, the UN continues to betray Israel. We've seen that now in a resolution that was condemning Hamas that would have passed if they would have used their traditional normal majority vote. But instead, they changed it to the two-third requirement, knowing they could defeat it. So they defeat the vote by a procedural maneuver, and now what do? We have sent a formal demand, not just to anybody at the United Nations, but to the Secretary General of the UN. Why are we able to do that? Because our European Center for Law and Justice is a recognized non-governmental organization with status before the UN so that we can engage in these issues, and that's exactly what we're doing in defense of Israel. I want to know from our audience, how important is it to you that we as an institution stand with Israel and that the country, the United States, stands with Israel? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, but that really gives you an understanding of what we're talking about here. A resolution condemning Hamas and Islamic Jihad would have passed, but for a procedural rule change, which, by the way, they haven't used all year until this resolution, which we also point out in our demand, in our formal demand going to the United Nations. Your support of the ACLJ allows us to do this. It's that straightforward. You support the ACLJ, I can mobilize offices in Strasbourg, Jerusalem, Washington, D.C., and a media center instantaneously. And we did that exactly today. So we appreciate your support at ACLJ.org, especially in the Matching Challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. We'll also take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. But I want to set the stage here and kind of get everybody's sense of it. I'm going to start with Jordan. How big of an issue do you see this?
I think this is a huge issue. I think that the idea here, again, that the support for Israel in the United States and at the UN is critical, and that we have to fight on every single one of these fronts. Because if we don't fight on all these fronts, as we will see, as Stan has said, Israel will be sanctioned. Israel will be cut out. So whether it's the BDS movement that wants to cut out Israel businesses from doing business in Israel, whether it is at the UN, if we don't exercise our important role there, Israel would be economically sanctioned and treated like a South Africa during apartheid.
Yep.
They would be economically isolated to the point where Israel would be destroyed without having to go to war.
Yeah, economic destruction. Wes?
Yeah, you know, what happened is unconscionable. There were 20 anti-Israel resolutions this year in the United Nations General Assembly, 20 of them. They all passed by simple majority. They come down to one that's going to condemn a terrorist organization, and they changed the rule. Hamas is responsible not only for Israeli deaths, but for Palestinian deaths. They routinely break international law by putting their missile batteries
yep.
and their ammunition warehouses in schools, hospitals, and kindergartens. They have burned thousands of acres of land with their incendiary kites. I mean, this is a terror group. And yet they changed the rule to basically support that group. And yet with Israel, 20 resolutions, simple majority.
I mean, just think about that. 20 resolutions condemning Israel, majority vote. One resolution condemning a terrorist group, they decide to go to the two-thirds. And everybody, oh, that's okay, that's the rules. That's why the ACLJ exists, to not only point that out, but to not let it happen, and now to fight back. And that's what we're doing. How important is this, Professor Hutchinson?
This is very, very important. The UN's failure to condemn Hamas must be seen as part and parcel of the BDS movement and the UN's continued process of issuing resolutions condemning Israel. The failure to condemn Hamas are part of a deliberate campaign to delegitimize Israel in the world community and ultimately to destroy the nation of Israel.
All right,
and
we
can't
back.
Let it happen.
Yeah, Than, quickly, give me a 15-second view on the importance of this. You're our representative there.
Well, it can't be overstated, but institutionally, Jay, I'm excited because we're on all these fronts. D.C., where the U.S. policy is made, New York, where the U.N. is, Israel, we've got an office on the ground, and then here telling the world about it. So, Jay, we're uniquely positioned to address it.
And then Strasbourg, France, which is the head of the European Union, we got an office there, too. All right, we'll take your calls when we come back, but don't forget the Matching Challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And again, talk to us on air, 800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
I mobilized our team here at the ACLJ, ECLJ offices in Jerusalem, Strasbourg, France, Washington, D.C., our media center, and New York. Why? Because a resolution that would have passed condemning Hamas and their terrorist activities fails only because the UN decides to use the two-third vote requirement instead of the 50% majority vote requirement. On every resolution condemning Israel, Colonel Smith pointed this out, 20 of them, they use the majority vote. But on the one resolution that was going to condemn the terrorist group, they go to a two-thirds vote. Now, do they have technically, can they do that? Yes. But you know what the world needs to do? Say this is nonsense. And what we have to do is point out the fundamental flaw in the due process within the United Nations legally. And that's exactly what we're doing with the demand that we send in a formal demand to the UN. And we're not stopping on this. We're going to call this out for what it is. They are protecting Hamas and Hezbollah and Islamic Jihad to the cost of civilian lives. And the UN is failing its mission. And we need to understand exactly what we're dealing with. And that's exactly why I've mobilized our resources around the globe. Now, let me also say this to our ACLJ members that are watching this broadcast or listening to us on radio or watching on TV or our social media platforms. Your support of the ACLJ makes that happen. So when you go to aclj.org and that donation is doubled, you donate 20, we get someone else matches it. That's why what your support does. And it lets me mobilize, our team mobilize, offices literally around the globe. So we're able to do that. Uniquely positioned, I think, is what, Fan, that's what you said. Uniquely positioned to get this done. Fan?
You've got to be on all those locations, Jay, too, because they're looking for an opportunity to let these things fall through the cracks. And let me just give people a little bit of a silver lining here, Jay. The vote on the underlying resolution, which was 87 in favor, 57 opposed, that is proof that the strategy we're engaging in is working. Because just a couple of years ago, I would have told you it was impossible to get 87 votes inside the General Assembly on a resolution that the United States offered to condemn Hamas. So it's working. Yes, the United Nations pulled a stunt. But the fact that we are uniquely situated inside the United Nations in there at the General Assembly means that we can point it out. Do we have work to do? Yes, we do. And it requires our presence in all of those. But, Jay, a little bit of silver lining. If we stick to it, eventually we're going to carry the day because we've made great progress.
We're getting a lot of interesting calls coming in at 800-684-3110. Comments coming in too. Frank on Facebook says, is there a system of checks and balances within the United Nations?
Only really at the Security Council, where you've got the permanent members that have the absolute veto power. When it comes to the General Assembly and these resolutions, which are non-binding, but still important, there are rules of procedure, obviously, but a system of checks and balances is this. The only action body at the UN is the Security Council. They declare war. They put forward sanctions. And if it was not for the U.S. veto power, Israel would be sanctioned heavily by the United Nations. It is only the U.S. that has stood in the way of heavy sanctions on Israel, to the point where Hamas may never have to attack Israel again because Israel would be economically decimated.
How do you look at it, Wes?
Yeah, you know, the duplicity and the hypocrisy at the United Nations is pretty stark, and they don't even seem to be embarrassed by it. But what I think Heather Nauert should do, if she's indeed confirmed and goes there, she should follow Nikki Haley's, you know, legacy there. They need to look carefully at our financial aid packages to these 183 countries. They need to sit down with those that we're closest to and have a real, frank, heart-to-heart talk. And then what I would suggest Heather does is that they tweak this resolution, and the first of the year, they resubmit it to the United Nations General Assembly after we've had this heart-to-heart talk about core values and peace and justice and whether or not they stand with the United States as we stand with Israel.
I mean, think about this. 20 resolutions targeting Israel, they use a 50-50, a majority vote. The one resolution condemning Hamas, they decide to go to two-thirds. Harry, that tells you why we have to engage.
Absolutely. So the UN has often become a surreptitious supporter of terror. In other words, it's focused its attention on attacking Israel rather than the source of terror, such as Hamas or Hezbollah. We need to call them out, and I think Than is absolutely correct. We have made progress by engaging, but we also need to make more progress. As Wesley correctly points out, we need to have a heart-to-heart talk with the 183 nations that receive aid. We need to resubmit this resolution, and we should ensure that there will be eternal vigilance in defense of Israel going forward, and that every nation that votes against the United States' interest, that votes against Israel, will pay a price going forward.
All right, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us on air today. We really want your thoughts on this, 1-800-684-3110. Paul called in from New York on line one. Paul, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Paul.
Thank you, gentlemen. You're an excellent addition to this world, because we need you so bad.
Appreciate that.
My two questions is, wouldn't the assembly need to have a vote in order to change that procedure? And my second question is, who requested the change and who actually approved it?
Okay, so you asked two, Paul, those are two really great questions. So first, wouldn't the assembly need to have a vote in order to change the procedure? They have the right. This is how bizarre their procedure is. They have the right to utilize this two-thirds rule basically on motion. I mean, they could just decide it, and that's what they did. So I think when you say the timing is suspect, you're not kidding. I mean, they did it specifically to stop this resolution, Than. That was the only reason they adopted a two-thirds resolution. They realized, wait a minute, if we stick with what we've been doing all year, this resolution condemning Hamas, a terror group, is going to pass.
I hope Paul's buckled in, because here's what happened. About 20 minutes before the underlying resolution came up, it was apparent that it was going to pass. And I had said 2 days ago, Jay, that it wouldn't pass. But the Trump administration had been effective bringing the EU on board. It was going to pass. Here's what happened. 20 minutes before, Kuwait came forward with a procedural resolution to raise the threshold to a two-third majority, even though they'd used simple majority 6 times the Friday before to condemn Israel. And, Jay, it passed by a vote of, get this, 75-72, with 26 countries abstaining. So by 3 votes, they changed the threshold to two-thirds. And then even though the resolution got 30 more yeses than noes, it technically failed 20 minutes before.
I mean, this tells you, folks, you have to be on top of this. You have to be on top of this. Unfortunately, we've got a team of lawyers and government affairs officials in our office in Israel, for instance. You heard today from David Benjamin. We also have Ambassador Rami Levy. He runs the political side of our operation. I say that he deals with the political side of what's going on in the Middle East. All of that is because of your support to the ACLJ. We could not do it without you. At ACLJ.org, you can make a huge difference.
Right to the phones, though, we go 1-800-684-3110. Richard in California, online too. Richard, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, yes. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all that you guys do. I love you guys, and I appreciate it. I guess I'm in a mental dilemma.
Okay.
Because I agree with, yes, we need to be engaged. I agree that this was a rotten thing that happened at the UN. But these things keep happening without the desired result. So I guess my question is, what good does it do to be engaged if it's not going to be overturned anyway.
Because here's why. For instance, on this policy, we know that a majority of the nations of the United Nations would have supported a resolution condemning Hamas. So we get to say it. The fact that they did something we think dastardly in their changing the rule and going to this two-thirds votes, which they barely got through, which, by the way, they used a majority for that one. They didn't use a two-thirds to change the rule. They used a majority vote rule. We get to say that a majority of the nations of the world condemn Hamas and that the UN failed its duty in passing that resolution, but the body of the United Nations recognized precisely and exactly what was going on there. That's what we were able to do.
Yes, absolutely right. And when we had Danny Danone, the Israeli ambassador to the UN, on our broadcast the next day, he made that point very clear that for the first time ever, it was historic for Israel that the majority of countries who voted, who did not abstain, voted to condemn Hamas. And not just to condemn Hamas, but to condemn the Hamas attacks and Islamic Jihad attacks on Israel. That was in the resolution. So that was historic for Israel, even though the resolution didn't pass. Remember, these resolutions are kind of non-binding. They don't have a lot of teeth. So it's historic that that many countries, as Stan has said, you would not believe that a year ago that many countries. So I think this U.S. strategy of saying we're watching how you vote is truly making an impact.
I don't know. It does. I mean, listen, you got a majority of
the
world.
Other side is not gonna...
Yeah, you got a majority of the world saying it was that we should condemn the terrorists. That doesn't seem like that's a big deal. It is a big deal in this day and time that we live in. But listen to what Nikki Haley said. This is number 14.
There is nothing more anti-Semitic than saying terrorism is not terrorism when it's used against the Jewish people and the Jewish state. There is nothing more anti-Semitic than saying we cannot condemn terrorism against Israel while we would not hesitate for 1 minute to condemn the same acts if they were taken against any other country.
There you have it. All right, folks, we're getting ready to take a break. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. In the last segment of the broadcast, remember, you get to ask us anything on any topic, 1-800-684-3110. We can talk about Israel, talk about other topics as well, 1-800-684-3110. But don't forget the matching challenge campaign. This was a perfect day for you to understand why what we do at the ACLJ is so critical.
Yeah, get your phone calls in because this is, again, we will take your calls on any topic this final segment, 1-800-684-3110. Call now so you're on the final segment. That's 1-800-684-3110. Make sure to support the work of the ACLJ with our matching challenge. Whatever you're able to donate is doubled. So if you donate $30, we have a donor ready to match that $30. You're charged $30. They will donate $30. They'll match that. It will be $60 to the ACLJ. Donate now at aclj.org.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Any topic, last segment of the broadcast. We've been talking about the Israel thing. During the break, Wes Smith, Colonel Smith, brought up a very important topic, and that is Kuwait was the one who authored this rule change. Go ahead, but they would not exist if it wasn't for who?
Yeah, that's the irony of it. Kuwait would now be one of the provinces of Iraq if it were not for the United States. They owe their very existence to the United States and to our allies. Over 100 Americans died to liberate Kuwait. So it's just ironic and surprising, shocking, I guess is the word, that they would submit this resolution. Plus, their entire military is equipped by the United States.
Yeah, and Kuwait was, so there needs to be consequences for these countries, and that's phase two of what we're talking about here, Harry. They have to be actual consequences.
Absolutely. So one of the things that is different over the last 2-year period is the fact that there is a new sheriff in town. And so the Trump administration has essentially authored the Trump Doctrine, which puts America and American interests first. And so every nation on earth should be prepared to pay a price when and if they cross the United States, either at the United Nations or elsewhere. And I think this administration will indeed follow through. It's important to note that only 75 nations out of 133 at the General Assembly voted for the procedural change, which defeated the anti-Hamas resolution. Every single one of those countries should be prepared to pay a price, and we should insist that a price be paid unless they're prepared to change their vote going forward.
All right, let's do this. We're going to take calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phones.
Yep. Let's go to Michelle in Maryland on line one. Michelle, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Thank you so much. One of my questions is we constantly are saying where the UN is not protecting Israel, does not want to protect Israel, but their own, you know, thing, and Hamas being a terrorist group. And I guess my question is, how can we, as the United States citizens and Christians who are mandated to support Israel, how can we kind of defund these people? Because it just seems like the whole reason for them is to just, you know, kill Jews.
Well, listen, they want to destroy the Jewish state. I mean, when I said in my email that went out today, let me read you the first line. Israel's enemies have one goal, the utter obliteration of Israel. Hamas calls for that in its charter, the destruction of the Jewish state, the occupying force, as they like to call it. And I said today, even worse, the UN betrays Israel, but today we're taking action. And the reason, so when you say, what can you do? You're supporting the ACLJ and lets us address this. Now, what's important to point out here, a majority of the world at the UN condemned Hamas. First time that has ever happened.
That's right. That's right. So, and again,
even though the resolution didn't pass, it was still a big moment.
Because of that two-thirds requirement, the first time it was ever used this entire year at the United Nations. But still, Israel saw this as a positive sign.
Yes.
Because the majority of countries that voted, some countries abstain, the majority of countries that voted to condemn Hamas. Now, usually an abstention vote is like a yes vote. But in this matter, because it required a two-thirds majority, those abstentions actually hurt the resolution from passing. But still, Israel saw this as not as a complete negative. Of course, they did not like this stunt pulled by Kuwait at the last minute. But the fact that on paper, the majority of the countries wanted to condemn Hamas, and they wanted to condemn Hamas not just generally for their actions of terror or Islamic Jihad for their actions of terror, but they wanted to condemn them specifically for their attacks on Israel. That was in the resolution. And so that is very positive for the state of Israel. And we heard that directly from their ambassador, Danny Deneau, when he joined us live on the broadcast just about a week and a half ago. It's interesting. We were talking about Kuwait, who put forward that resolution for two-thirds. Our producer Will's brother-in-law teaches in Kuwait. And he says that they require students to mark out Israel on maps and in textbooks.
Yeah, I mean, this is when they call for, when we're talking about the calling for the obliteration of Israel, that's exactly the fact. But as Wes pointed out, Kuwait's existence today as a country is because of the United States. I mean, so now there needs to be so we got the legal demand out. Now there has to be consequences for action in the form of policy.
Absolutely. That we need to tie our foreign aid to whether or not the recipients of that aid stand with us against terrorism. Israel, think about it, Jay. Every war they have fought, everyone has been defensive in nature. They have been attacked over and over again, which in itself is unjust and immoral and wrong. They live, as we speak today, with enemies on their northern and southern borders who would like nothing more than to wipe them off the face of the earth. And so the idea that the United Nations would do this is unconscionable, but Jordan's right. There was a majority vote. The rule change stopped it. But I think if they bring it back up and if they tie our foreign aid to this vote, it will pass.
Let's take Christian's call, calling in from California online too. Christian, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Christian.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Sure. You guys are my heroes.
How
you guys
kind.
Are my heroes, man. I just have one question. As someone whose family has been directly impacted by Hamas, one of my uncles was kidnapped and tortured by them. Mm. My other uncle was kidnapped and tortured by ISIS. My question is, what is our ultimate goal here? Because I feel like unless these organizations are wiped out, just like they want to wipe out Israel, we're not going to win here.
You heard from David Benjamin. I mean, the Israel military is aggressively going after that. From a policy standpoint, what we have to start doing, and I'll turn to Harry Hutchinson on this, is putting teeth behind our statements. Now, the White House has done that. But it now is going to take the next move. If you are supporting the terrorists, you're at a negative in our view. Not only that, you're taking an adverse position to the United States. That needs to be the policy moving forward.
Absolutely. So one of the things that we should do is we should prepare a list. And with respect to every single country that fails to support Israel, that fails to support American interest in the Middle East, and American interest in bringing peace to the Middle East, we should withdraw funding where possible, and we should do it very, very expeditiously. They should be prepared to pay a price when they cross the United States. We should follow Nikki Haley's example, and the record should be plain and clear. This will then send an example to additional countries down the road that if they are unprepared to accept U.S. policy in the Middle East, if they're unprepared to support the legitimacy of the state of Israel and the Jewish state, they will pay a price. And it should be immediate, it should be plain, and it should be clear.
And we have to create a list because the United Nations Human Rights Council, which the U.S. pulled out of, is creating its own database of companies that are doing business in what they consider the occupied West Bank and Gaza Strip.
You're not kidding.
So that is why we have to put together our own list of these countries that are voting against Israel and voting against U.S. interests, because the U.N. is doing it.
So, Than, I want you to get your team up there, some of our staff up there and a government affairs staff, to start getting that list together. Let's be prepared to publish it by the end of the week. I think that's that important. All right?
Yep. Yeah, we'll do it, Jay. And look, I'm confident that the administration is going to pursue it because that's a decision made at the presidential level. It's why Ambassador Haley pursued it. I have no doubt Ambassador Nauert's going to as well.
This is what we're doing, folks. It's called Fighting Back. And your support of the ACLJ enables our office in Jerusalem, Strasbourg, France, Washington, D.C., our team in New York, to go to work for you. And that's exactly and precisely what we're doing. So let me encourage you, ACLJ.org. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Jordan's going to give you the details of it. Stand with us.
Here's an easy way to think of the matching challenge. If you donate $50 right now online at ACLJ.org, that is what your credit card is charged, $50. We have a donor ready to match that $50. So what does it mean? You have effectively donated $100 to the American Center for Law and Justice just by donating $50. But you've got to do so today by donating online at ACLJ.org. Every donation at each size is matched. Donate today.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.